What excites you? What satisfies you? What gives meaning to your life? When you can determine what really motivates you, you're on the path towards self-actualization. Being self-actualized is not tacking new skills onto yourself. It's becoming your fullest self with nothing taken away. It's becoming the best that you're capable of becoming. In this program, psychologist Michael Broder guides you toward discovering your true motivation in life and following your unique path. If possible, you'll want to have paper and a pen handy, because your self-exploration will be even more powerful when you put it in writing. This program is designed to make the concept of self-actualization meaningful and accessible to you. So to further demonstrate how it plays a role in everyday life, each side will conclude with a question related to that side, answered by Dr. Broder. Because your path may change throughout your life, this program will offer you a new perspective every time you listen to it. It's a lifelong resource that will keep you headed in the right direction. So here's Dr. Broder to start you on your journey.
Welcome to Self-Actualization, Achieving Your Full Potential. I'm Dr. Michael Broder, and we're going to take an exciting journey together. This may be the most important journey you'll ever take because our destination is your own unique sense of fulfillment. When you stop and think about it, that's really what self-actualization is, identifying and achieving as high a level of fulfillment in every area of your life as you're willing to seek. There's no prerequisite for what we're going to talk about on this series other than the desire to know yourself better and perhaps to explore parts of your inner being that you may not even have known existed. I'm a psychologist, and I consider helping others both to find and to achieve their full potential as the most rewarding aspect of my work. Well, in this series, I'm going to help you to look inward, to ask yourself some questions that you may never have asked yourself before, or perhaps help you along with some questions that you may ask yourself often. The questions I'm referring to lead to answers that will help you to define much of who you are. They include, what is the purpose of your life? Where do you now see yourself going? In what direction or directions would you like your life to be going? Are you willing to take the risks to get on the path you choose? What's standing in your way? What do you need to get around those obstacles and to move straight ahead? Are you truly willing to do whatever is necessary to accomplish your purpose? The great thinkers and writers throughout all of history have in one way or another taken this journey. Einstein, Freud, Shakespeare, all of the great religious leaders, political luminaries, inventors, and in some way, all of those people who have brought this planet to the state that it's in today, for better or worse. In fact, just about every great thinker since the beginning of time has one thing in common, which is this. In their own unique way, they tap into wisdom, creativity, courage, and all the other gifts that exist inside of themselves. By doing this, they define the unique contribution that they'll ultimately make. Sometimes this discovery is made by accident, and sometimes it's totally deliberate. Sometimes the contribution is first motivated by the promise of status or some monetary reward, and sometimes making their own unique contribution costs a great deal of money or status. But all those who achieve greatness feel an internal sense of drive and motivation. This is coupled with the courage they need to break out of the pack of consensus and to embark on a journey that leads them toward making their individual contribution. Undoubtedly, you've heard that we never fully use our entire brain capacity. We're capable of so much more than our standard functioning. For example, people who are blind use their other senses, such as hearing or their sense of touch or their sense of smell, to see. This capacity, although we may never need to develop or use it, is within each of us. And what's most important to know here is that you can choose exactly which of your many capabilities you'd like to develop to their fullest potential. The purpose of this program is to help you to do just that. you may be fully aware of the potential that you have that's ripe for development. To the extent that this is true, you're ahead of the game, and all your discovery may need is some fine-tuning. On the other hand, you may have untapped resources that you never had any idea existed. We'll cover those traits, talents, and potentials of yours that fall under both categories. That's because self-actualization entails bringing all these talents to fruition. The concept of self-actualization was developed by Abraham Maslow, who's often called the father of humanistic psychology. What makes Maslow stand out is that, unlike most of his contemporaries, he based his studies on healthy and creative individuals. Up until that time, almost all personality theory focused on psychopathology and abnormalities. However, Maslow is most interested in what factors were necessary to make a human being become fully functional. He noted that although virtually all psychologically healthy individuals said that their central desire was to be happy, they seemed to spend almost half of their energy focusing on what they should do and the other half on what they should have done. So Maslow made an intensive investigation of a group of people he believed had achieved self-actualization. They included Lincoln, Thoreau, Beethoven, Eleanor Roosevelt, Einstein, Helen Keller, Albert Schweitzer, and Martin Luther King. Maslow thoroughly examined the traits of these individuals and many others who exhibited a similarly high level of functioning, and came up with a list of 16 characteristics they all had in common. I'll explain these characteristics in detail in a few minutes, and we'll focus on how they can be developed and maximized in you throughout the series. The influence of Maslow's contributions has been vast. Not only did his theories change much of the nature of psychology, but they also became the cornerstone for many different New Age schools of thought, educational and teaching philosophies, leadership and organizational development, and child-rearing principles. Many other theories of peak performance were developed around Maslow's time, but none has had the impact of self-actualization. For example, Carl Rogers, another giant in the field of humanistic psychology, conceptualized people who are self-actualized as being what he called fully functioning persons, or FFPs. Rogers defined his model of the fully functioning person as one who has an openness to experience, an absence of defensiveness. In other words, they just do not see any reason to justify their principles or any aspect of who they are. Uncommonly accurate awarenesses, unconditional self-regard, and harmonious relationships with other people of a quality that's greater than normal. Carl Rogers also spoke of congruency, which he defined as occurring when the way you see yourself, the way others see you, and the way you perceive others as seeing you are all pretty much the same or congruent. So Rogers' litmus test as to whether you're what he describes as fully functioning is the degree to which you possess this trait of congruency. Another term which has appeared in the literature to describe an extraordinary level of high functioning is beautiful and noble people, or BNPs. These are individuals who accurately perceive reality, are devoid of self-defeating behavior, have a high level of passionate love for self, have committed and loving relationships, are compassionate and caring toward other people, and have an intense enjoyment for their work. Self-actualization encompasses similar traits, but it's defined by a more complete model. Maslow explained the quest for self-actualization as fulfilling universal human needs. This concept is both simple and profound. The universal human needs Maslow identified can best be illustrated in the form of a pyramid with five steps. He called this our hierarchy of needs. At the bottom of the pyramid are our physiological needs. Fulfillment of those brings us to our safety needs. Next comes our belongingness needs, which when fulfilled lead to our esteem needs. The final step in the hierarchy of needs is self-actualization. Let's take a closer look now at each step in Maslow's hierarchy of needs. First are the physiological needs. These include food, warmth, water, sleep, sexual release, and other biological needs. It's been said that man cannot live by bread alone. That is, of course, unless there's no bread at all. It's difficult to concentrate on anything else when your physiological needs are unfulfilled. For instance, an individual who's homeless and cold is going to have little drive or energy to concentrate on anything else, such as self-improvement, until warmth and shelter are found. One who's hungry will make finding food the highest possible priority and will be interested in little else until that need is met. Perhaps you can even think of a time recently when a physiological need that you usually take for granted demanded your attention in such a way that nothing else mattered. Maybe you went without much sleep for a while and found it nearly impossible to focus on the task at hand. Once you got the rest you needed, you fulfilled your pressing physiological need, and you were then free to redirect your attention. The next step in the hierarchy of needs are safety needs. Like fulfilling your physiological needs, achieving a sense of safety is basic and vital. By safety, Maslow meant physical safety, as well as the feeling of being safe from physical injury. In addition, you need to feel a satisfactory degree of emotional security. Think for a moment about how you react when, for whatever reason, you're not feeling safe. Let's say it's late at night and you hear someone quickly approach you from behind. Chances are your top priority will instantly become doing whatever is necessary to rectify the situation so that your safety feelings are restored. People who rarely or never feel safe don't go very far beyond this particular step in the needs hierarchy. Someone who constantly feels physically or emotionally unsafe, even though they're not nearly as unsafe in reality as they believe they are, is called insecure or even paranoid. They may not get very far in life if they can't move out of this very basic stage. The third step in Maslow's needs hierarchy is called belongingness needs. They include your need to feel a part of a group and the need to both give and receive love. In other words, to be a part of something bigger than yourself. To the extent that this is lacking and your lower order needs have been fulfilled, achieving belongingness will become your main focus. The fourth step in the needs hierarchy are your esteem needs. Esteem needs have two dimensions. One is self-esteem, and the other is the esteem we get from others. Self-esteem includes feelings of personal worth, adequacy, and competence. In other words, to feel good about yourself. To the extent that you have self-esteem, you're less likely to put yourself down or to measure your self-worth in terms of how much you've accomplished. You value yourself for just being you. Esteem of others involves getting respect, admiration, recognition, and status from people in your life whom you consider to be important. Self-esteem and the esteem of others often go hand in hand, but not always. You can have a great deal of self-esteem, but not get much respect from others, or you can be getting a great deal of respect from others, but you have little self-regard. If that is the case, you'll feel deficient in this area. Until a satisfactory degree of both kinds of esteem is achieved, in one way or another, you'll go through life seeking fulfillment of your esteem needs rather than moving on to the next level. It's this next level, self-actualization, that will be our main focus in this program. Self-actualization is the realization and expression of yourself. It's the unique contribution that you can make to yourself, to the world around you, and even beyond. Your potential as a self-actualized person has no bounds. All the satisfaction that your inner resources can muster is already there waiting to be tapped, and the process of tapping and expressing those resources is one that's lifelong. This will become clearer and clearer as we progress through the series. Maslow studied a small group of what he considered to be the psychologically healthiest people. Through this study, he discovered 16 characteristics that self-actualized people have in common. He estimated that individuals with all these characteristics constitute perhaps less than 1% of the total population. Let's look at Maslow's 16 characteristics of self-actualized people, and as we do, notice how many of these traits you can identify with. First, self-actualized people are realistic. That is, they see the world as it is, not merely as they want it to be. Second, they're accepting. They accept themselves, other people, and the natural world for what they are, not for what they want them to be. Acceptance of those things that you cannot change is crucial to being self-actualized. Third, they're spontaneous. They have a great deal of spontaneity, and they're almost always open to new ideas and new experiences. Fourth, they're problem-centered. That is, problem-centered as opposed to self-centered. They realize that by achieving a solution where everyone wins when at all possible, they're doing the greatest amount of good. And although they don't forget their own needs, they can see past them. Fifth, they're detached. They have a need for privacy, which is crucial to their style of expressing themselves. Sixth, they're independent. Although they can be quite attached to others, they can also let go when appropriate. Seventh, they're appreciative. They have an appreciation of people and things that is fresh rather than stereotyped. They're less likely to go with the consensus and more likely to go with their own unique perspective on life. Eighth, they're benevolent. They identify with mankind and consider it an important part of their life experience to use their own trademark characteristics, abilities, and talents to help mankind advance. Ninth, they're intimate. Their relationships with people tend to be profoundly and deeply emotional rather than superficial. To those people whom they let into their inner circle, they're fiercely loyal. They relate to them at deep and sometimes even spiritual levels. They don't need large numbers of people around them for validation. Tenth, they're ethical. Their values and attitudes are democratic. They rarely believe in controlling others or getting anything to which they're not entitled. They believe that everyone's view has some merit and validity. 11th, they're goal-oriented. They don't confuse means with ends. Their goals and purpose are almost always in the forefront of their mind. And the means for achieving the goal, if at all possible, does not become an end in and of itself. 12th, they're philosophical. Their sense of humor is more philosophical than hostile. In other words, their amusement does not come at someone else's expense. 13th, they're creative. They have a great fund of creativity and make it an extremely high priority to tap it as often and as fully as possible. 14th, they're nonconformists. They resist conformity to the culture. They feel confident in designing and creating their own lifestyle, their own ways of being, their own sets of rules, and their own moral code. 15th, they're transcendent. They transcend the environment rather than just cope with it. If their environment is not a place where their mission can be carried out, they'll find another environment that will support them. And the 16th characteristic of self-actualized people is this: they're spiritual. Maslow found that most self-actualized people have had profound mystical or spiritual experiences. He referred to them as peak experiences. These experiences are not necessarily religious in character. Because self-actualized people are so non-conforming, their spirituality often has very little to do with any kind of organized religion. In that regard, many of them describe themselves as secular, yet deeply spiritual. Peak experiences can also be called feelings of intense perfection, as we'll see later on in the program. Achieving self-actualization is not an all-or-nothing affair. How far along the path you are is an individual matter. It's possible that you've been able to identify with all of these 16 characteristics at one time or another. Being self-actualized does not mean that you're immune to fault or setbacks. The blocks that stand in your way of self-actualization can return at any time during your life. And although you might remain self-actualized in most areas of your life, the life experience itself can bring on a deprivation or deficiency in your lower order needs that can cause you to regress at any time. But we'll take that up later, along with strategies to get back on track when that happens. Most people experience moments of self-actualization during different times in their lives. Think of the last time you felt in complete touch with all of your capabilities, when you saw the world exactly as it was, rather than the way you wished it to be, and when you weren't dwelling on what other people thought of you. At that moment, you were able to provide yourself with all the validation you needed. This feeling of self-actualization is available to you if only you're willing to do what it takes to get there. And if you're equipped to overcome the obstacles that will come up from time to time to challenge you. When we continue on the next side, you'll have the opportunity to begin the journey to your own unique potential.
I've heard that no one ever reaches their full potential, that our possibilities are endless. So, how is it possible to reach self-actualization?
Self-actualization is achieved to the extent that you have reached your potential or are going toward your potential. You're right, there isn't an end point. The end point is death. Because as we live, we're continuing to evolve. And we continue to evolve more and more and more. So don't think of growth as a place that has an endpoint destination and you don't go any further. In fact, that's kind of a depressing thought, isn't it? Self-actualization is a process, not an end in and of itself.